Let's start considering Solomon. When we think about the future and forever, because I'd like to make this statement at the outset that Solomon, for all of his wisdom, really seems unfulfilled when you read through the book of Ecclesiastes. In his great understanding and wisdom that God had given him, it seems to reflect here, now, but not much really beyond that. He reflects on the world, and he begins his book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 1, verse 1. We read, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all of his labor, in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever." And then in verse 14 again, "I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind." Really kind of, sometimes it's, except for the little nuggets of really profound truth that you find in this book, it might almost cause you to be a little bit depressed, because here Solomon had everything, did he not? You know, he'd been given wisdom by God. God had appeared to him twice and helped him in so many ways. Let's continue in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3 this time, and I'd like to read verse 22 first. This is Solomon writing, "So I perceived that nothing is better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his heritage. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him?" And he repeats that thought in chapter 6 and verse 12. Chapter 6 and verse 12. "For who knows what is good for man in life? All the days of his vain life, his empty, worthless." I know he doesn't say worthless, but you know, it almost borders on that. "His vain life, which passes like a shadow. Who can tell a man what will happen after him under the sun?" And he throws in one little wistful bit of knowledge here that he doesn't seem to really address all of that much in chapter 3 again, and this time in verse 11. "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in the hearts, their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end." And he ends the whole book with this advice to all of us in the last chapter, chapter 12, and verses 13 and 14. I'll read part of verse 13. "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." So it's wisdom of the age that he was living in, and for all ages as far as human life goes. And I'm taking this particular facet of his book to contrast a little bit, and I'd like to contrast what his father David wrote of and how David looked at his life in Psalm 17, verse 15. Psalm 17 and verse 15, David writes, and this verse, this part from this chapter 17 is just a highlight of all that David did, because he approached it this way. And interestingly, God supports what David is saying here by some of the prophecies we know about David in the future, that he will be king over Israel forever, as he says. I will not cite those verses right now, but Psalm 17, verse 15, here's David's view. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Transcending his human life and all the trials and the blessings and everything that he experienced, he lived a full life, full of days, blessed by God, but he had his own sets of trials and tribulations. Yet he kept focusing his focus on the future. Jesus said something about Solomon in Matthew 12, verse 42. Matthew 12 and verse 42. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment. He's projecting again a time beyond the human lifetime. With this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom, the worldly wisdom, I might add, of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. Well, one of the ways in which Jesus Christ is greater is what he proclaimed, what he preached, what he taught, how he was forward-looking and threw into the mix the perspective of eternity, the forever, the future. Jesus came preaching about the future. John 10, verse 10, to cite what he taught, just a little representation here. In verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And as we know from his teaching, the life that he's talking about is eternal life, life that goes on and on without end. And then he shows this in Luke 7 and verse 28, talking about one of the greatest prophets that ever arose in human history, John the Baptist. Luke 7 verse 28, for I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But, now he draws a contrast into the future here. He who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Well, that's a powerful comparison, I think. John 14 and verse 2, another thought from Jesus Christ, a promise, not just a thought, but an explanation of his own activity after he left the physical lifetime. John 14, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Again, he's speaking to his disciples here, but we understand broadly the plan of God that there is a future, there is a kingdom of God coming, and Christ will establish it on the earth and will grant eternal life to all of those whom God has given him. We are told of the great glory and honor which belongs to Jesus Christ. We have been called, brethren, as we know and fully understand, to share in that glory and in that honor. As we weigh our life, as Solomon did, and that was, you know, Solomon reflected on all that was going around him, of his position in life, and he tried everything. He withheld not much from himself, and it cost him in at the end, as far as how his kingdom went on. It was divided because God was upset with him the way he had turned to paganism because of the women he'd married, as the Bible says. So we can be like Solomon. We weigh our life, and I call that the here and now. But we need to focus on what Jesus Christ also focused on, and that is the there and then. And I just maybe you can contrast the here and now and the there and then with the title of my sermonette, The Future is Forever. Let's look to Jesus, who focused on his eternal future while he lived on the earth, because he knew, he believed the promises in the Word of God that they would be fulfilled by him and for him. And brethren, we desperately need that sense in the times in which we are living. Because we're living in a comfortable society, we have almost all of our wants in the Western world supplied, and we want for very little in terms of this world. We live like kings. I think even Solomon might have marveled at some of the things we have. Our own chariots, they've got four wheels, or two, or maybe otherwise, but we are tremendously blessed. But we still have to keep our focus on the future. Here's the promise that I'd like to go out on here in my sermonette and conclude it. It's in Isaiah 9:7, a scripture we know that applies to Jesus Christ, but because we are co-heirs with Christ, this is a promise for us, brethren, to have a part in this promise. Isaiah 9 and verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. What a tremendous opportunity. And as for me and mine, my hope is that indeed we all can enter the future that is eternal.